Hallelujah. I'm eager to get into what the Lord instructed me to talk on tonight. I believe this will be the last in a series I've been calling The Serving Son. And tonight's message, we're going to call it The Serving Son's Anointing. The Serving Son's Anointing. Now, if you have not gotten those previous five tapes, how many did not hear those messages? Most of you heard them, okay? You need to get those tapes. Otherwise, you're going to have a hard time knowing what I'm talking about. But there's just no time for review tonight very much. Well, really not much at all. I thank the Father so much. My whole understanding of what's going on when it comes to Christianity and what this is all about has changed completely, really, since He opened this vision to me of the serving son. It's identified for me the players. What I mean by that, it set me free from so much religion about what is my Father really doing. Hallelujah. What is my Lord Jesus Christ doing in all of this? What is the role of the Holy Spirit? Who is my enemy and what is He doing? And how do I incorporate this power, this helper, the Holy Spirit, to bring to nothing all the things that the enemy would bring against me to stop me? It's done so much. And if you haven't heard those tapes, there's lots of good information on there. But as I continue to see it, and by the way, nearly every time I get into prayer, it activates again. And I see it again. And there's lots of things. I don't know how long we could teach on it. But the idea is not so much to teach on it. The idea is to profit from it. Put these things into practice. Now, as a minister now, having been in full-time ministry over 3 years, Sue and I, we have a mailing list of a little over 700 families. Now, if you figure just two people per family, that's 1,400 people. And I hate to say this, but it's the truth anyway. Most of the letters we get by email or white mail, there I go, mail, regular mail, telephone calls, they're looking for help. Something really bad is going on in their life. Either their marriage is in trouble, their finances are in trouble. Them or one of their relatives has got some kind of serious disease and they're calling for help. And we do get, you know, thank God for the ones we get where there's victory. If I'm going to be honest with you, far greater number needing help than calling to give me victory reports. These things should not be. Christ did not die to give us the very life of God and send us the all-powerful, all-knowing Holy Spirit who cannot be bribed, who cannot be deceived, who cannot be tricked. He did not do all that for us to be going around like orphans who have no father and have no shepherd. We are not like sheep who have been scattered and have no shepherd. That never from the Father's mind were not. Now, we may be that way, but it's not because He intended it to be that way. And Him opening up this serving son helped me so much. I see for sure. Now, we'll just recap a few things. The original serving son is who? Well, that's Jesus Christ. Now, thank God, he didn't even try and go into warfare against the enemy without first receiving the helper, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He understood that from the beginning. But I understand why the Father unfolded this vision to me the way He did, because the rest of us, we get saved, we get full of zeal for our Father's house, bless God He's called me, and we launch right out, full of zeal, without knowledge. And here we go, you know, we're going to save Tulsa, and we're going to save Oklahoma, and we're going to save the United States, and we're going to save the world, and we get out there. And it's not that the Father doesn't intend for us to do that. He does. That's ultimately what this is about. That's the culmination of all the messages when they come to maturity. Seeking and saving the lost is what this thing's all about in every sense of the word. Okay? But because we do not understand how... Well, let me back up. We do not really understand the whole plan of God. and how we're supposed to flow with and cooperate with this Holy Spirit, we launch out with our best efforts. We have the life of God on the inside of us, and we really do. It's not that we don't. Many of us were baptized in the Spirit and got our prayer language, and now we can shama, shama, shandai, you know. And so we shama, shama, shandai, and we pick our little promise out of the promise box that morning, and my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory, shandai, shandai, and here we go. And we get out there, and the devil, who's been watching human beings for 6,000 years and Christians for nearly 2,000 years and has thousands of years of experience on how to defeat you, because we don't really hear the mind of the Spirit, we don't receive His instructions, we just fall into every snare and every trap that He lays for us. And after a few years, even the most persistent of us, we get our ears so beaten back, we come crawling back to church, or we send a minister one of those letters I was telling you about. Can you help me? That was never the Father's plan. So in this serving son vision, that's the way most of us start out. And in that vision, I mean, it was getting bad. It wasn't that the serving son didn't have the life of God in him. He did. It wasn't that he hadn't spent time with the Father to the point that now his life was about seeking and saving the lost. It was. He'd come to that much transformation. It wasn't that he wasn't out to scam anybody. He wasn't out seeking his own will. He'd gone to serve and find the prodigal in order to bring him home. Bless God. You know, thank God for that much transformation. That's what the new birth does. It allows us that fellowship with the Father so the love of the Father for lost people can be put in us. But, oh, I can see the futility. That life was never intended, neither in you nor in Jesus Christ Himself, to be the anointing that overcomes the enemy. Quiet in this Baptist church now. Jesus Himself lived for 30 years with the life of God on the inside of Him. He had that life if anyone ever had it. He is life to the maturity. Amen? No one has ever developed in that life of God more than Jesus Christ our Lord. Before He was baptized in the Jordan River and baptized in the Holy Ghost. But notice, He Himself knew. It wasn't that life, that nature, that provides the anointing to overcome the enemy. What do we see happening at the River Jordan? See, and John the Baptist knew this. He says, listen, I'm baptizing you with water. But He that's coming after me, He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Glory to God. Well, Jesus was the first one to be baptized. He understood that in order to overcome all the works of the enemy, He needed a helper. H-E-L-P-E-R, helper. And He wasn't about to go out and launch out into battle with this enemy without that helper either. Now, just to show you, let's just look at one. Go over to Luke chapter 4. And while you're going there, now remember the vision of the serving son, the one who'd been out there, the one who'd had his ears beat off, the camels are starving to death, they're starving, their clothes are getting frayed, the ribs are starting to show through on the donkeys, they've run out of money, they're running out of food. I know it doesn't sound like anybody in here, you know, and they don't understand it because they've been doing everything they know to do to serve the kingdom, you know. But all hell's broke loose against them, and every time they even go by, you know, every time they pass a village, you know, the people come out and shout and stone and say ugly things about them and everything, you know. And it's bad. It's just bad. It's a bad situation. And boy, it was a great day when the Holy Spirit arrived. The Father found out about that. He says, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He cannot be bribed. He cannot be tricked. He cannot be deceived. He cannot even be tempted. And I'm going to send my son a helper such as this. And anything my serving son needs, helper, you are to bring it for him. Whether it be finances, whether it be anointing, whether it be leadership, whether it be counsel, whether it be healing, all things that are his inheritance because he is my son, by you, they come to him. Glory to God. Now, our problem in a nutshell, before I even go any further, is we do not know how yet to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. We still yet, the best of us, yours truly included, I'm talking the best in the land, just know a tiny bit about how to really cooperate with and flow with this helper. Jesus knew about it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, when Jesus, his first message, after he had been baptized in the Holy Ghost and had overcome the devil in the wilderness, here's his first message. Look at the first words out of his mouth, Luke 4, verse 18. This is the inaugural words of the Lord Jesus Christ after the helper has come to him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Everyone look up at me. Look up at me. Say these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. My Father has sent me the Helper, the Holy Spirit Himself. He is my Helper. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Glory to God. Now, if we ever get it straight, Jesus has, as Dave puts it, the life that Jesus had in himself. You know, he takes that verse, the Father had life in himself. He has given to the Son to have life in himself. And when you got saved, the Son has given for you to have life in yourself. That is the life that makes you a serving son in the first place. Or daughter. You know, there's my daughter back there. But in the same way that the original son, Jesus himself, he didn't go into ministry without the helper. He says, no, I've not come on my own here. Even with this life that I've had for 30 years already on this planet. Now I've come to announce something to you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Glory to God. He's given us that same life that he had within himself, and now he has sent us the same helper that he had himself. The difference between us and him is we don't know the helper very well at all. We don't know how to cooperate with him. We don't know how to receive his instructions. Hallelujah. Y'all getting this? The first words out of his mouth, the Spirit of the Lord. He could have said it this way, the Holy Spirit is upon me. Couldn't he? Because he hath anointed me. Now, if you don't get anything else tonight, you get this. You got your catchers out?
Come on now.
I want you to get this. It took the Lord weeks of me watching this serving son for me to really get this. The Father did not send his son an anointing.
Come on now.
The Father sent his son a helper. Who is the anointing? The anointing is not a thing to be studied. The anointing is a who to fellowship with, to communicate with, and to cooperate with. Glory to God. If that revelation ever goes off on the inside of us, really, a lot of games will instantly cease. We've been trying to acquire a thing, something we call the anointing. Why? Let me study the anointing. Let me find out how to acquire the anointing. Like it's a thing. No, it's not a thing. It's a who.
Glory to God.
His name is the Holy Spirit of God. And he is the anointing. He is the anointing. He doesn't have the anointing. He is the anointing. God did not send his son an anointing. God, it took him weeks. I kept watching this vision.
learning a lot of things, writing a lot of things, and they're all good, but I was missing the point. The whole church has missed the point. The church at large has missed the point. God has not sent us an anointing. He sent us a helper. The anointing has a voice. Now that's just words, I know. That's a truth that will change your whole life. If you'll hearken to what I'm saying tonight. The anointing is a living entity. He is a being. He has everything that we ascribe to personality. He, the anointing himself, has emotion. He can be pleased. He can be grieved. He talks with you. And are you ready for this? He talks with Jesus Christ, who's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And he's able to bring the very mind of Christ for this day from the throne to you in words you can simply understand.
Come on, Gary.
God, have we known this? We haven't known this. He did not intend for us to be stumbling around in the dark wondering what the will of Christ is for our lives. Most of us have a hard time trying to find out what His will is for our overall life, much less find out what His will is by noon today. And I mean the Holy Ghost is in direct communication with Jesus, the Father, and you all at the same time. And He knows exactly what Jesus wants you doing by noon today. Send $1 to Kenneth Copeland. Here's where you'll find it. Here's how you get it. There's an envelope somebody threw away over there, and here's a stamp right over yonder. Now, probably those that's hearing my voice right now won't know what I'm talking about since that was on the offering portion. Anyway, the leadership of the Holy Spirit is what I'm talking about. Now, what I'm about to read to you, you are free to reject. Anytime, because I'm fixing to read something that I believe with all my heart the Holy Spirit of God said to me in my prayer time. But I understand you are free to reject this because I'm not giving you chapter and verse here. But still yet, I believe the Lord wants me to read it. And I had never heard anything like this. You ready? I am the anointing, says the Spirit of grace. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, but I am the anointing. Remember the Word says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. I am the anointing of God. The Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with me. I am the anointing. I am the power, I am the finger of God, the hand of the Father stretched forth. I am He who brought all things into existence by the power resident within myself. And I am He who changes all things to conform to the Father's will. I do these things by faith. Faith works by love. Faith works by obedience. I bring the mind of Christ to you, says the Spirit, hearkening to His voice who speaks from heaven, and obedience on your part is what releases me, releases the anointing, releases the power to cause the material realm to conform to the will of your Father, which is in heaven, says the Spirit of grace. Glory to God! Read it again. Get to take. How are we at it? We don't have enough time. Glory to God. Read it again? Really? All right. I am the anointing, says the Spirit of grace. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But I am the anointing. Remember the Word says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. I am the anointing of God. The Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with me. I am the anointing. I am the power. I am the finger of God, the hand of the Father
stretched forth. I am He who brought all things into existence by the power resident within myself. And I am He who changes all things to conform to the Father's will. I do these things by faith. Faith works by love. Faith works by obedience. I bring the mind of Christ to you, says the Spirit. Hearkening to His voice who speaks from heaven and obedience on your part is what releases me, releases the anointing, releases the power to cause the material realm to conform to the will of your Father, which is in heaven, says the Spirit of grace. Now, does that fit the serving son picture or not? Here the serving son has been out there full of love for the Father. Now he's full of the Father's love for lost people. He's out seeking and saving the lost, and the devil's flat beating his ears off. Again, I know none of you ever felt like that. And so God sends this helper. The only problem is this helper is a spirit. It's a problem and a solution at the same time. It's a problem for us because we tend to think carnal instead of spiritually. But really, it's the solution because only the Holy Spirit can bridge both worlds. He can be talking with you and at the same time be standing in the presence of the Father and Son. And He can be bringing your prayers to them and their counsel to you all at the same time. He is the perfect answer. And He is the very power of God. Hallelujah. It makes sense, doesn't it? Makes sense. Even my old engineering brain start this. Makes sense to me, John. Hallelujah. I know just out of those two paragraphs, I've meditated on these things, as you can imagine, for days and days and days. Let me just give you a few things I gleaned out of here. First of all, the anointing is a person. I have always thought of the anointing as being a tangible, quote, thing. From these words, I must now say that the anointing is a person. Specifically, the anointing is the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit Himself. He does not have the anointing. He is the anointing. The anointing is not something. The anointing is someone. Glory to God. Second point, the anointing is a living entity. Again, the anointing is not a thing, but rather a living entity with a will, intelligence, emotions, and all of the attributes that we ascribe to personality. Let me say it this way. The anointing is alive. The Holy Spirit is the anointing, and the Father never intended for it to be impossible for us to hear from Him. Now, wouldn't that be something? Send His serving son, who desperately needs help, a helper, but for some unknown reason, the Father just left it impossible for there to be any two-way communication between the serving son and the helper. For crying out loud, what good would that do? If there is no communication, there is no help. Isn't that right? Now, let's just get it. Say this after me. It's good for your head. Say, the Father has sent me the helper. He has made it easy for me to hear from Him. Now get that straight. I don't care. Now, it seems hard to, how many of you has it seemed hard to you? I'll raise my hand first. Okay? But I'm telling you, it can't be as hard as we thought. Our Father is not stupid. Now, yes, I see that hand. Glory to God. Little girl over there. Hallelujah. Say this. It's good. Say this with me. It's good for your head. My Father is not stupid. He did not send me a helper that I can't hear. He gave me ears to hear what my helper says. Best thing you could probably do all day tomorrow is say that about 1,000 times. Till it gets down in your spirit, the Father really isn't stupid. He did not send us a helper with whom it's impossible for us to fellowship with. Can I get really unreligious?
Please do.
Can you imagine? I would, yeah, I would anyway. This is starting to really get me, being nice. Let's see now. My enemy hates me with an intense passion. He has legions of devils to assign against me and bring all kinds of disaster my way. That's pretty much it from the Serving Son vision. Isn't that right? Let's see now. But the helper the Father sent me, the way this works is I have to seek him for about, let's say 40 days before I can ever begin to hear his help. And in that 40 days, let's see, I wonder how many attacks, waves of attacks are coming my way. We better get our religious heads unscrewed. Get them screwed, you know, unscrew that religious head and start putting on the mind of Christ. Our Father has not made it that hard. Religion has made it that hard. Now, if you've been born of the Spirit, you have ears. How many of you have heard Dave teach? Your spirit man looks just like you. You just in the same way, he usually goes to the rich man who wound up in hell, and he says, I see Lazarus, the rich man in hell. That means your spirit man has eyes. You have spirit, everyone say, I have spirit eyes. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger. Wait a minute. In the spirit. Now, these people are dead. Do you understand dead? They have no corporal bodies. You with me? All right. And he says, I see Lazarus. Send him to dip the tip of his finger in water. That means your spirit man has a finger. You got that? That he may bring water and touch the tip of my tongue. Your spirit man has a tongue. By the way, that's what you're using when you're praying in tongues. Glory to God. And what Dave teaches from that is your spirit man looks just like you. Except he's probably prettier. And probably not over 33 years old. But you've got spirit eyes. You've got spirit hands. You got spirit legs. You got a spirit heart. And get this, you have a spirit mind. That spirit mind has an ear. You have, just like you have physical ears, you have a spiritual ear. And if you're born of the Spirit of God, which you are, you have an ear to hear the ear of the Spirit. Now, our problem is not being trained. And it sure isn't Dave's fault, is it? This is as good a place as any to bring this in. We've not been trained how to distinguish and tell the difference so that we can listen with our spirit ear rather than listen with our carnal mind. Now, let me put it this way. Most people are so afraid. Well, that might be my own thoughts, might be my own voice, might be the voice of the devil. I better not listen to that, you know? Well, if that's where you're going to stay, you're probably going to be left to your own wisdom your whole life. God intended for us, He sent us a helper who is a spirit, and we communicate with Him by the Spirit, and we hear His instructions in our spiritual ears. Now, it's just a matter of locating in us where that is. Now see, my good friend Leonard sitting back there, and if I say, hey Leonard, raise your hand. He raises it, doesn't he? He heard me with his physical ear. Now the Holy Ghost, I'm not picking on Leonard. I always pick on people I love. You know that? Now, he has no trouble hearing my physical voice with his physical ear. Now the problem is when the Holy Ghost comes up to Leonard and says, give Gary Carpenter $10,000, Leonard doesn't usually hear that. I'm teasing. Or whatever it is. See, what I'm saying, our problem, we don't have any trouble hearing with our outer ear, most of us. But the Holy Spirit is more real, or give me this, at least as real, as any one of us. I see plainly He has a voice. God has given us spiritual ears. Now, if Leonard's able to hear my voice with his outer ear, he ought to be able to hear the Holy Ghost with his inner ear. And that's the same for all of us. Amen? Amen? Have y'all ever seen this little tape set by an up-and-coming young evangelist
named Dave Roberson.
Struggling young evangelist.
Hallelujah, pastor. Glory to God. For the benefit of the tape, it's a two-tape series called Distinguishing God's Voice. Now, it's funny because when I look back on it now, when Sue and I started here in 1992, this was the first set of tapes we ever bought. Partly, I think it was the leadership of the Spirit. Partly, it's the only set we could afford. It's $10. Now, later on, we got some of the other ones. I had never heard anything like what's on these tapes, and I'm not about to try and teach them in 25 minutes. But in a nutshell, what this is about is the subject matter that I'm talking about tonight. Learning how, that's again for Leonard, to be able to distinguish the difference between my voice to him, his own voice coming from his mind to him, the devil's voice trying to speak to him, and God's voice speaking to him. That's what these tapes are about. I wore out these two tapes. Literally, I wore them out. They would not play anymore. I brought them back, and Derek gave me another set. And I listened to them and listened to them and listened to them. But if you don't have this set of tapes, yes, sir? Now listen, if you don't have this set of tapes, I see my job is to obey him. You got that? Now, if you can afford to buy these tapes, buy them. If you honestly cannot afford to buy them, after the service tonight, we'll have a little sheet in the back. You don't even need to sign your name. The point is not to embarrass you. You understand? Put a check mark on that piece of paper. They'll give you a set of these, and I will pay for them personally. Hallelujah. Now, I just got my marching orders from the Lord, and I obey him. There's a big blessing in that for me. Do you understand that? I want to be a steward he finds faithful. When my rich man gives me instructions, I intend to obey him. And he wants you to have these tapes. Now, I'm telling you plain, if you can't afford to buy them, and you don't, you choose that other method, you sin. Do you hear me? I mean, if you want them and can't afford them, your Lord and mine has instructed me, and he's made me able to pay for them. Be happy to do it. He's made me able to do it. Now, what does that mean? If you want this set of tapes and you can't afford them, don't leave here without them. He's made me able. I'll buy you a set on me. Really, it's on him. Okay? Fair enough? Now, what that means is, after tonight, every one of you that's... And by the way, this offer does not apply to the thousands hearing my voice by tape. As far as I know, if I get other instructions from him, we'll go from there. Hallelujah. We're talking about this group tonight, but... We're talking about this group tonight. Thank you, Jesus, my Savior. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well... Thank you, Lord. You have a spiritual ear. The Holy Ghost has a spiritual voice. He intends to bring the mind of Christ to you in such precise detail, just like he did Jesus. When his friend Lazarus got sick, I don't want to belabor the point, but his good friend Lazarus was sick. Was Jesus anointed to heal the sick? Are we supposed to go heal the sick? Every faith man I know, including myself, would have fallen for that trap. But Jesus had a helper. And Jesus was able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit tell him, it's a trap. Don't go based on carnal circumstances. You go when I tell you, the trap will be over, you will raise your friend from the dead, everything will be fine. You hearken to me. How would you like to have some of that kind of leadership? If you leave here tonight without these tapes, be it on your own head. Now, I listened to these years and years ago. Now, I don't mind to be embarrassed in front of you. I, this month, learned how to do them. 6 years. 6 years. Hello? Now, it's not going to take you that long. You know why? How do I put this?
Which is not because you're here tonight. You're going to hear something a little differently. Just a little differently. Let's just go on with this now. You got it? Distinguishing God's voice. I hope you got lots of sets of them up there, Derek. Hallelujah. The anointing is a living entity. The anointing has a voice. Point three. The anointing has a voice. Now, I'm still having trouble putting this into words that carry the same impact as this knowledge has had in my spirit. Being a living entity, the anointing himself can actually communicate with us those actions required to loose his power. We don't have to guess. What do I do to release the anointing? Why don't you ask him? He is the anointing. And if he says, spit on the ground and make clay and put on the man's eyes, you do that. If he says, spit and touch the man's tongue, you do that. Sounds an awful lot like whatever he says to you, do it. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Now, but get the point. You don't have to guess. That's the point. He himself will tell you what to do. It'd be like this. I'm a poor substitute for the Holy Ghost. But let's, just for example's sake, here I come. She's the serving son. Isn't she pretty for a serving son? That's Mary. Here comes the Holy Ghost. All power. Can't be tempted. Can't be bribed. Nothing is impossible. She has a problem. She's sitting here going, how do I release the anointing?
How do I release the anointing?
I wonder what I should do.
I wonder what I should do.
And I'm standing here, I'm the Holy Ghost, and I'm going, ask me. Ask me, daughter.
What am I
going to do? She's like, maybe I need to write a letter to Dave. Maybe I need to write a letter to Kenneth Copeland. Somebody tell me what to do. And the Holy Spirit's here all the time going, ask me. It's my power. I'll tell you how to release it. Do this. Say that. Power comes. Are y'all getting this?
Yes.
Glory to God. Tell you, get me out of my prayer closet. You don't have enough money to get me out of my prayer closet.
Hallelujah.
Gee, money. Being a living entity, the anointing himself can actually communicate with us those actions required to loose his power. The anointing is not a thing to be studied. He is an entity with whom to fellowship and cooperate with. Big difference. Said another way, there is no need for guesswork regarding the activation of the power of God. That's a statement and a half. Read it again, Brother Gary. I think I will. There is no need for guesswork regarding the activation of the power of God. The anointing himself will personally communicate with us those things that will release his power in every given situation. That would be leadership indeed, don't you think? That would be light indeed, don't you think? This eliminates all causes of stumbling in the dark, wondering what to do. Now get this, there's two things required. I'm seeing there's just two things we have to develop in us. Number one, we have to develop the ability to hear him. That's why these tapes. If you will put into practice what's on these tapes, you will begin to develop the ability to hear him in English. Now, he has lots of ways, like Dave's been talking about, communicating with us, the inner witness, by revelation, by vision, and so forth. But he also talks to you in your known tongue. I mean, the whole idea is eventually get this to the point we can cooperate with him. That's going to be pretty hard to do if you don't have the understanding in your mind.
Right.
Not just in your spirit. Glory to God, Brother Gary. You ought to get this tape yourself. I think I will. Hallelujah. Now notice this. The anointing is not... Don't let me close tonight and without telling you the thing that will save you 6 years. Okay, don't let me close. Don't let me forget that, because we have several things here. Okay, from that same... Those two paragraphs that you had me read to you twice, all I'm doing is showing you things that I've had time to meditate on those, and you haven't. So I'm bringing out some things I saw in it. Here's another thing. The anointing is not Lord. Now, I notice that even though the Holy Spirit is very bold about His declaration of being the anointing, the power of God, He does not assume the role of being Lord. He plainly says that He brings to us the mind of Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord of all and is the head of the church. I see that even though they are co-equal in stature, the Holy Spirit has voluntarily subordinated Himself to the will of Jesus Christ. And we all know that Jesus Christ has voluntarily subordinated Himself to the will of the Father. Can you see that? Now, they're co-equal, like Dave says, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. If they were standing right here, it'd be chest to chest, nose to nose, eye to eye. They're co-equal. God. But they've voluntarily taken these roles. Hallelujah. So, the Holy Spirit, He's not, you know... The religious mind goes, oh, you're exalting the Holy Spirit above Jesus Christ. No, the Holy Spirit is the helper that Jesus Christ has sent.
That's right.
But because we've so ignored Him, we don't get much of His help. Another point. The anointing regenerates. With the power resident within Himself, the Holy Spirit, when He moves, what we would normally call the anointing, when He is active, He moves at the subatomic level to regenerate material substance and material situations to conform to the will of the Father, as revealed from the mind of Christ, who is Lord of all. What are you saying there, Brother Gary? I'm saying if we can ever get in contact with the Helper, when you pray for that, for Sister Goiter, the goiter will fall off in the floor and dissolve. The Holy Ghost is the molecule mover. He is the atom smasher. He's the cancer dissolver. He's the one that actually manifests God's power in the material realm. And I mean that cancer can fall off in the floor and dry up right in front of your eyes. And even when they brought Him men born blind, they sat there and watched as God the Holy Ghost made eyeballs. Hallelujah. Do y'all understand we're going to see that in this very building? I say it without shame and without any reserve at all. We're going to see new legs where there were no legs. See new livers where they took it out. Maybe they took out a man's lung 20 years ago. God's going to make him a new one. And you get to watch. Glory to God. Here's another thing I found out. Now, notice this is what he said in there, out of those same two paragraphs. Now, watch this. This will settle a lot of religious junk for you. It's important to notice that he said the anointing Himself, is activated by faith. He's activated by faith, he said. I do these things by faith. Clear enough? All right, now that means... I take that to mean he does not move to regenerate simply because it is the will of the Father, neither because it is in the mind of Jesus Christ, but rather because it is acted upon by believers in faith. Now, at my present level of understanding, that would mean some believer or believers somewhere are believing with the heart, saying with the mouth, and obeying with their actions the things revealed from the mind of Christ in order for the Holy Spirit's regenerative power to be activated. What does that really mean, Brother Gary? If you don't do something about your cancer, God is not going to do anything about it. I love Jesus. I love God. Why doesn't He come and heal me, Brother Gary? He's waiting on your faith.
Yes, amen.
Now, while He's waiting, He may get you to a Benny Hinn meeting or somewhere where the gifts of the Spirit are in full manifestation. You can just receive it free, but if you don't learn how to live by faith, most of the time it's going to come back on you. If you don't know, learn how to get rid of it in the first place, you're going to be hard for you to keep it away. Okay? But he does it by faith. I mean, for crying out loud, it's not the Father's will at any 5 years. I mean, they show those pictures of those children up in the hospital that's got cancer. That is in no wise the Father's will. I don't care. And you say, well, if it's not His will, why doesn't He do anything about it? He's waiting on somebody to act in faith. Let's be the somebodies. Let us get our ear tuned precisely to the ear of the Spirit, where we start getting the real instructions that come from the mind of Christ and stop all this guessing. He's real. He's our helper. He's come to talk with us. Glory to God. Thank God for Dave Roberson. The message of praying in other tongues that birthed these things. Are y'all enjoying this? Man, I had church by myself. Glory to God. Now here's another thing. His anointing is available for everything. Let me say it another way. The Holy Spirit will help you in anything. How can you say that, Brother Gary? Can I read you another paragraph that I haven't read you yet? Something he said to me. You're free to reject this, believe me. Talking to me, he said, you are learning and will learn more about making no decisions based on carnal information without seeking first my counsel in every matter, even in the smallest detail. Make no decisions based on carnal information, regardless of how serious those situations seem, and how immediate, and how pressing. Make no decision without hearing my counsel. Now take that with Lazarus. Was that an immediate pressing situation? Lazarus, your friend, is sick. If you don't come, he's going to die. How immediate and how pressing is that carnal information? Was it accurate? You say, but Gary, my problems are real. That was real too. And I mean, it was designed on purpose to get Jesus to make a decision based on carnal information without the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus knew better. Would to God we did. Rather than, now it's not that he rejected the information. It was accurate. It was factual. But he did not base his decisions on that. Helper, what does my Father say about this? What is the counsel from my Father? Whatever my Father, I don't do anything except I see my Father do it. And I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. Helper, Holy Spirit, what is my Father saying? Can you see that? Now, well, not just for the big things in your life. Let's see. Make no decision without hearing my counsel. This tells me that we must press beyond the normal level of thinking, that the anointing is only available on rare occasions, such as we're in a service like this. Since he is the anointing, and he is instructing me to make no decisions without first hearing his counsel, then I must conclude it is the Father's will that we live in the anointing all the time. He's not just to come help us every Thursday. He's not just our helper at the 10 o'clock service Sunday morning. My Bible says, I will send you another comforter and he will abide with you forever. Glory to God. We're not to expect the anointing to come and go like we see it occurring in the Old Testament. Since He has come to abide with us forever and He is the anointing, then we must expect His anointing to abide with us forever all the time. When I'm in the shower, oh yeah, God the Holy Ghost with you in the shower. I hear Him in the shower a lot. I don't know what it is about the shower. How do I get another witness back there? Hear Him in the shower, glory to God. Driving in the trucks. I don't care what it is you're doing. The helper is the anointing, and he's come to be with you all the time. There's never a need for us to be without his counsel if we can ever learn to distinguish that voice. Hallelujah. You liking this? All right. I must reject forever all teachings that say, well, you know, we're anointed to preach the gospel, but we're not anointed to live the gospel. Nothing was ever further from the truth. We are anointed to live the gospel. Did Jesus live the gospel? You had the same life in you that he had in him. Now your life may not, the maturity may not be developed, but the potential is there. If we spend enough time with the Holy Ghost, John, the Apostle John, in his last letter, or the, you know, his, in 1 John, the idea is to come to the place where we walk as he walked. It is possible. I don't care what religion says. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Okay. You're going to like this. I'll go a little quicker. Not too much quicker. The anointing, our helper, shows us things to come. Now y'all read that, right? He'll show you things to come, right? Now here's another quote. Here's another paragraph. Where are you getting these paragraphs, Brother Gary? Five minutes every Tuesday? A little more than that. Here's the paragraph. You're free to reject it. I don't ever try and impose these things on anybody. You're free to reject this. This is not chapter and verse I'm giving you. Here's what he said, quote, you shall follow my counsel and my leadership to the place where you see everything ahead of time. Yeah. Nothing shall take you by surprise. In every circumstance when you arrive, you have already had my counsel and my wisdom. You already know exactly what to do. These things belong to the sons who serve the living God, if they give the time to learn how to flow with me, says the Spirit of grace. Did you hear that? I've always thought his best would be to anoint my mind with knowledge and wisdom regarding my present, now, current problems. I thought that would be real good. But if you really think about that, that's not his best. Because when you're like that, you're always playing catch-up. The problems are on you. Now you have to seek his wisdom, so you're always behind the problem. How many of you ever felt like that? He's plainly telling me he intends to show us his wisdom before those situations ever arise. That alone would be enough incentive to spend a lot of time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Next Thursday, the devil's going to attack the right front tire on your car. Now, I made that part up, but I don't know how little... Who knows if his leadership can't be that precise? Buy a spare today, thou shalt be ready. Glory to God. I don't know. It says, he said in the smallest details of life. Now, awareness of his presence is vital. One more paragraph. Yep. And then I'll get to that, back to the tapes. Here's another paragraph. You're free to reject it if you want. Quote, awareness of my presence is vital and key to operating in my power. Understand that I'm with you whether you are aware of it or not. But lack of awareness brings lack of faith. Lack of awareness brings lack of expectation. Lack of awareness causes the leadership that comes by vision and by the inward witness and by words spoken in your spiritual ear to be dismissed. Do not dismiss these things, for it is by these that I manifest my power through you, says the Spirit of the Lord. And even though we sing songs about, you know, him being with us, and when we talk with each other, we talk about that, he started instructing me. Now, how many of you ever saw that old Jimmy Stewart movie where he had a buddy that was invisible who was a rabbit? Name was Harvey. Wasn't it Harvey? How many, really, let me see your hands. Those of you seen that old movie. Now, because of that movie, I had a hard time trying to get into this. Because he said, I'm just telling you the truth. I said, oh God, now I'm having imaginary friends. I got this imaginary friend, Harvey the Holy Ghost now, you know. I mean, it was hard for me. But he's saying, be aware of my presence. So he started giving me instructions. He says, I want you to do, even though it may seem like a game, this is the way he said this was something. He said, even though this will seem like a game to you, this is of the highest order of reality. Man, if we ever come to, in reality, walking with the Holy Ghost, he changes reality, you know. So I started doing it. So he could tell you. Well, Lord, we're fixing to go to Shoney's now. Holy Spirit, we're so glad you're with us. Would you like to go? We just want you to know we're aware that you're going with us, Holy Spirit. That's the point here. We're trying to make sure that you know, that we know, that we're aware that you're with us. That's the same way I felt. Oh, God, Harvey, you know. Now I'm talking to imaginary friends here, you know, invisible people. Now I am talking to the Spirit of the living God, who is invisible. If I can ever bring myself to the place that whether I'm taking a shower, whether I'm driving a truck, whether I'm eating my breakfast, no matter what I'm doing, He, my helper, is with me. And if I believe that, and I believe He's all-powerful, all-knowing, cannot be bribed, cannot be tempted, and I can hear Him all the time. Goliath is going to start running from me for a change. Glory to God. Now, it does still seem like a game. I'm still doing it. I've got Harvey the Holy Ghost. It'll seem like a game to you. But just think if we can ever really get there. Where we're continually aware, like David of old. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Thou art with me. David had that awareness. When he went into battle, he knew who was with him. Oh, would to God when we go into battle, we know who's with us. I got news for your head. When you wake up in the morning, you're in the battle. Your enemy is not inactive, he's not asleep, and he's not dead. And he's still trying to stop you, you serving son, you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I say again, the Father has not sent us an anointing. The Father has sent us a helper who is the anointing. Now let me read you just a couple of paragraphs. Only about 6 more minutes here, maybe. And do you understand the main thing that's going on right now is information? Information that is to be acted on. I have no idea what he may do at the end of this service. But I understand what he's doing during this service. He's taking a guy who is not real bright. See, in the tortoise and the hare, I'm always the tortoise. But I'll beat you if the race is long. Because I don't have any quitting sense. Now that's my strength. He knows that. See? So he's taking it over, and he has to get this stuff down simple enough, because I'm not real quick. Well, even I can understand it. But if he can get it down low enough where I can understand it, then I can communicate it where practically anybody can understand it. You understand? And there's a good case in point right there. There's a good case in point right there. You understand? So the idea, though, is to take this information and do something with it. Glory to God. Start talking to Him like He's real. And it'll be like a game. I'm telling you, it seems like a game when you start doing it. Do it anyway. Hallelujah. King David danced naked before the Lord because he was so intensely aware that God Himself was watching from within the Ark of the Covenant. Now, David didn't totally understand everything, but he knew this much. He knew God was in that ark. God was watching him. He also knew this. He knew eventually when it came time to go to war against their enemies, Israel's victory was
totally dependent upon Jehovah's action, who was in the ark, and not Israel's own skills or their own strength. He knew if we're going to have victory, it's going to be what he does. Him in the ark, the one that's watching me. That awareness. He was so aware that God was in that ark that it influenced his actions to the point that he was willing to be ridiculed in the sight of the people by unrestrained dancing before the Lord. It is only as we become intensely aware that God the Holy Ghost dwells within our ark, our reborn human spirit. That is your ark of the covenant. That is where God the Holy Ghost dwells, and he is watching you. If we ever become really aware of that, to where we'll hear what he's saying for us to do, even to the point of being ridiculed and mocked by our peers, but we'll just obey him. Whatever he says say, we say that. Where he says go, we go there. What he says do, we do that. What he says give, we give that. He is with us. It is by being intensely aware that our helper is ever with us. He's ever watching. He's ever available. He is ever speaking with us. That our faith rises to fever pitch to obey without question whatever he says. Glory to God. To remain unaware of it, to remain like we have been. You know what Dave always says? If we're going to go somewhere we've never been, we're going to have to do something we've never done. Now listen, if we're going to really go to a different level of walking step for step with our helper, we got to do some different stuff. Alright? To remain unaware of his abiding presence is to remain dull of hearing, blind to leadership, disobedient to instruction, and full of our own ways instead of his. To know that the very anointing of God is ever present with us in person is to be constantly expecting the supernatural manifestations of his power. Who would fend for themselves when the Father has sent us such a helper as this? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let me get back to Dave's tapes. Here's what Dave says on here that I missed for 6 years, and you're not going to miss it. Say that. I am not going to miss this. Everyone stand up for just a minute. I've been talking for an hour or so, a little over an hour. Shake the cobwebs off. I want you to get this. Go, you know, something. And shake your neighbor a little bit. Wake up, wake up, wake up. This is important. Get this. You don't want to lose 6 years. Get this. Get this part. Don't miss this part. Hallelujah. All right, you can stand or sit now. I just wanted to get the blood flowing a little bit. What Dave teaches in here in a nutshell is this. In a nutshell. Now, you ought to get the tapes because you need to get this in detail. But in a nutshell, this is what you're going to get. The same place within you, when you're praying in other tongues, if you stop praying for a little bit and listen, you can hear those tongues being created in your spirit. Yeah. Now, where you hear those tongues on the inside of you, that is the ear of your spirit man. Yeah. Practice listening. Now, here's the part. I got that. I did that for years. And that's where all that revelation came from. That's where I learned to write thousands of lessons, revelation-wise, when it comes to teaching. But I never got much direction because I missed the rest of what he says on here. You ready? The same place in you where you hear him create those tongues is the same place in you where you hear him speak to you in English.
Hallelujah.
I missed it for 6 years. Gary, can you get more practical? How's this? Get your little behind somewhere where there is no distractions. That would obviously have to be somewhere other than here. And that's sad that it's that way. This is supposed to be the prayer center. Can't pray here normally more than 10 minutes without somebody interrupting the Holy Ghost. It's a good thing we're not in the Ananias and Sapphira days. It will become the prayer center eventually. But for right now, you're going to have to find some place
where there is no distraction. What do you mean? No television, no radio, no background music for a little while. You're trying to learn how to hear the voice of your helper. You don't need any distractions whatsoever. You do not need to have your mind drifting off to lovely meadows and flowing brooks right now. Okay? Get where it's quiet. You, the Holy Ghost, that's it. Pray in other tongues like this, loud. And then shut up. Do it for a little while and then shut up and listen. Till you can hear those tongues being created on the inside of you. They're still being created. He's the one creating those tongues in your spirit. Practice it over and over. Pray for a little while. Then be quiet. Listen. Train yourself to hear the voice of your spirit. Eventually, now is this plain enough for you? If you'll wait on God, practice this. How long? I don't know for you. Those tongues will eventually change to English.
Hallelujah.
And you will be hearing the voice of your helper with your spiritual ear. Did you get that? John, I lost 6 years. I didn't get that last part. Waiting on God. I don't like waiting on God. Do you? Okay, God, I'll meet you. I don't want to waste any time. So I'm going to be running my errands all day, but I'm going to meet you at the prayer closet at 2:06 this afternoon, and I expect to hear from you at 2:07. Now, in the beginning, I tell you, eventually, I think we're supposed to come to the place where we become so adept at hearing His voice that you don't even have to wait to meet Him at all. He's talking with you all the time. I really think that's the way it's supposed to be. I think that's the way Jesus operated. The more I see this, I don't think He had... You know, of course, now He did go off by Himself, and we read it over and over again. He'd spend all night in prayer. But He's listening to the Father. You know, listening. Who do you suppose brought Him that counsel? The Father's in heaven, you know. It was the Holy Ghost. Now, He didn't have to pray in tongues. His mind is one with the Father. I got news for you. Yours is not. Neither's mine. That's why He gave us a prayer language to bypass our mind. But that doesn't mean He never intended... That does not mean He did not intend for our mind to be the recipient of His wisdom. His instruction, His counsel. I'm talking about what to do by noon on any given day. Pray in other tongues. Practice. Clamp up. Listen. Listen till you can hear those tongues being created on the inside of you. Listen for a while. Train yourself. That is the ear of your spirit. You're hearing those tongues with the ear of your spirit, man, Leonard. You got that? And you'll come to where you can hear Him tell you to give that $10,000 as easy as you can hear me. I'm joking. Now, most likely, you know, there's no telling what He'll tell you. There's just flat no telling. Send tapes free around the world. Glory to God. Rebuke that devil. Hallelujah. Did y'all get anything out of that? Now, again, the offer is still, there's tons on, there's two tapes here by Dave Roberson. I'm just giving you the bare bone, bare thing. You know? Get this. He goes all through describing what your spirit man is like. And if you don't know that, you need to know it. He goes in great detail about these things. Get these tapes, and there's no point leaving without them. He's made me well able. I'm just His servant anyway. This is not a burden on Sue and I. You understand? If you can't afford the tapes, all I want the check mark for is so I'll know how much to write a check back to the prayer center. Just, I want to know how many sets are like that. Now, if you can't afford to buy them, buy them. He didn't tell me to buy you a set if you can afford to buy your own. But if you can't, He does not want you leaving here without them. Fair enough? No, and there's not, hey, I've been, it's a long time before I could buy a lot of these tapes. There's no condemnation for me. You understand that? I understand. Hey. But once you get these tapes, you eventually get to the place. Not only you could buy these, you can put thousands and millions into the gospel. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just pretty much convinced that the same Holy Ghost that could tell you to make mud and spit on the ground, make mud, put it on a man's eyes, could tell you which stock to buy tomorrow that's going to make $10,000. I believe the same Holy Ghost can give that kind of information. Or whatever it is he might tell you to do. Hallelujah. Father, is there anything I left out? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I think that's it.